Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Cam Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. I enjoyed it, baby. I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it's time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the show. My name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're listening to the number one blog talk radio show, the Hammer Network. Yeah, that's me. We're worldwide. You lucky bastards. Today I have a very special guest, man. I met Kevin maybe 5 years ago. And he's still my friend. That shows you what a great guy he is. I mean, he must be patient. But Kevin is an intellectual. I'm not used to talking to intellectual, but most of all, he's a very talented musician. Man, he's a musician. He can shred a guitar just like people in Congress will shred paper and documents. This guy can shred like you would not believe. He's also a great friend. But he's a musician, a great friend. But there's something very interesting about Kevin. Kevin is just not cut like the rest of you humans. And I make a joke a lot on the show that I'm not from Earth. I'm here to observe you, to just observe you human beings. And I write my report and I send it to my planet. But you humans are very strange people. And I joke about that. But Kevin will not joke about that. Because Kevin has done research, and Kevin has made it part of his, I'm not going to say quest, I would say his life. He has had encounters with extraterrestrial. He has studied them. He has looked at reports and documents, and I think he's been on shows that feature UFO sightings and UFO. And just recently, our government is now admitting that they have sightings. But enough of that. Kevin's going to be talking about his album. Like I said, did I mention he was a great musician? Yes, I did. He has a new album out. And in Cosmic Angels, that's his newest album from Pyramid on Mars. It was released May 31st of this year, you lucky bastards. And today we're going to be talking about what inspired him with this album. He has an interesting story. And how the extraterrestrial, how it influenced his music. I know you're bored to hear me talk. You want Kevin. I know you do. I can hear it in my back of my head. Kevin. But that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about a lot of other things. And after I talk with Kevin, we'll talk 20 minutes. That's how it works. I'll talk 20 minutes. Then if people want to call in, don't forget the number because you need to call in. You need to talk to a celebrity. Kevin's here. 319-527-6099. That's the number. 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number that you can talk to and ask questions to celebrity Kevin Estrella. You're going to need that number. Because after we talk to Kevin, maybe 20 minutes, then if you come in, we'll have 10 minutes of Q&A. Then after that, Kevin's groupies will come in and they will do a little T&A. That's the best part of the show. And then after the interview, we're going to be talking about the latest topics, what's going on with abortion and about Oklahoma, things like that. All right, without further ado, I think this is Kevin. I'm not quite sure because people come in the studio all the time, and I kind of have a feeling it's Kevin. We send an Uber. We send a Fuber to Kevin. Kevin wouldn't get in it because, see, we have a short budget. It's usually Uber, but we send in Fuber. We put the F-U in the right. You know what I'm saying? We make it special for people who are rock and rollers. All right, here we go. Without further ado, the guy you've been waiting for, the guy who's rising up the charts, I think it's Kevin. I'm going to take a shot here. Kevin Estrella.
Brian.
Is this Kevin? Is this
my
Kevin?
My brother from another mother. Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely.
How you doing, my friend? Look at that crowd. Look at that. Wow. Look at you. It is so good to hear your voice, Kevin. My God.
I am so, oh my God, it's way too long, buddy. Honestly.
It is.
I had a dream this morning, and I dreamt that it was you. Like, we hooked up, and we were, like, preparing for the show before. Like, this is the dream I had this morning. So I'm totally stoked, you know.
I hope it's a good one, but thank you. Kevin, you know, I've been watching your post. You know, we may not be talking all the time, but I see your post, and it's very interesting. And I see what you're doing, and I'm so proud where you're going, and I see the following that's attached to you. And, damn, it would have to been 5-6 years since we've known each other, and I see how you progressed.
I think 7, actually.
Wow.
7 years.
And look at
yeah.
it. But I have seen you grown into a great musician and a great business person and a marketer and a promotion guy. And it just fills my heart, Kevin. But we're going to get right to it because you got a lot of people who are listening to you right now. And we're going to hear On Dragon. Is that the name of the new song, On Dragon?
On Dragon's Wings.
On Dragon's Wings. Now, what inspired you to this album, to make this album, Kevin?
Well, it was funny because I was actually I wanted to promote my last album, Edge of the Black, and you know, and go out and play shows. But then the pandemic hit and everything was completely shut down. So it's like, okay, I can't play. I can't do anything. So what am I going to do? I might as well just continue to write music. And so thus all this music started to literally write itself. And there's a long story behind that we'll get into. Where, like, basically, honestly, Brian, every song on this album was written in one take. I pick up my guitar. And the song was right there. The whole song came together in one take, and all I had to do was learn it. The song literally wrote itself for every single song on this album. No edits.
You're in a groove. You're in that spot. Wow. Well, okay. You have here the creation of the songs, and it has an interesting story. How many songs are on the album, Kevin?
This one, there's 9 songs. It's 44 minutes 9. Of music.
Wow. And you said each song has an interesting story behind it?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a story behind each song.
Okay. Let me drop some LSD so I can get into this. I want to be there. Wait a minute. Okay. Tell me. Yeah, you're the only guy I know that wears a condom when you're having sex with an extraterrestrial. I don't know what you're worried about. I don't know if you're worried about child support. I don't know what's going on. So
actually, folks, just to let you know that, yes, I have had contact with many extraterrestrials. It's ongoing. I have an ongoing contact for many years. Just so you understand, I have a huge – it's not that I've studied – I have studied extraterrestrials, but it's part of the reason why I'm here is to help raise consciousness about our Star Nation family who are trying to make themselves known.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all incorporated into my music because there's a lot of elements that they have been teaching me that are incorporated into my music, particularly telepathic storytelling and tonal language of the cetaceans and the whales. This is what they've been teaching me. And some of this is incorporated into my music. So there's a lot of deeper elements to my music that's communicated on dimensional levels.
Wow. See, I told you, you're the most interesting guy in the world. I mean, you're the most interesting guy I have talked to, and I've been on the air for 10 years. And you know my story. You know my background, so I'm not mocking you. You know my background.
No,
so, you know, most people, they go,
you had your own contact.
No, exactly. I did. And it still bothers me today. I think they played with my body. Anyway, I'm going to write the book. I was molested by an extraterrestrial, and he didn't even give me a call back. He might be my daddy. But I had my own experience. You're right. And only you know about it. Well, people back in the day, 6 years ago, I told this story. So I'm not mocking you at all. So I'll let everybody know this is not a joke, because Kevin is the only one that kind of explained to me what that meeting could be, and he was the only one that didn't laugh at me or thought I was crazy. So there's one song, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, one that is very elaborate. Please tell me about that song that is so elaborate that you need to get it off your chest or let people know what's going on.
Which song is that? In particular?
It says there was one song. Well, you said that the extraterrestrial influenced your music.
One that
is very elaborate. So I was wondering if it's probably just one song or something else.
There is one particular song that was the song Flaylee was about an extraterrestrial visit from a lady. She's an Arcturian. We think she was Arcturian's peoples. So she looks very much, if you've seen the movie Avatar, you know, the Na'vi and Avatar, the blue beings. Well, she looks pretty much like that. That's what she looks like, without hair. Her head was a bit longer and elongated, but she had blue skin, and she had the same amber eyes as the Na'vi. The difference with her eyes, though, was that she had cat eyes, feline eyes, and they were bioluminescent. They slightly glowed in the dark. And she was the inspiration for the song Flaylee. Yeah, and I got to see her 2 times. She visited me twice.
It was
an incredible experience.
But how was the communication there? How did you communicate with this? I don't want to say being, because I don't want to be I don't want to be, you know what I mean.
They're people.
How did you communicate
with
people?
Her?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah. You have to understand that ET visits can happen in many different ways, and they can happen in altered consciousness, so in lucid dreams, or states between asleep and awake. So it's not, you're not dreaming. It's as real as being awake. So, like, when she interacted with me, what happened was I woken up at 5 a.m. trying to go back to sleep. And then as I was halfway in between asleep and awake, all of a sudden I was in this dream state where I was lying in bed. And then all of a sudden I became aware that I was paralyzed and that I was choking on the back of my tongue. So sometimes they will paralyze you so that you don't jump and get startled for what you're experiencing. So she realized that I was physically choking on the back of my tongue. So she allowed me to wake up just enough so I could tilt my head back enough so that I could breathe. And then immediately, boom, she pulled me back in. into this this lucid dream state. And then I didn't see her yet. All I saw was somebody crawling under my bed sheets, and then she pops up from under the bed sheets with this huge excitement look in her eyes and face, like, surprise, it's me. And it was like, I was like, wow, because I never seen anyone like her. And then like, the thing is, like, why, like, the way she said that, it's like, obviously we know each other, so I've got suppressed memories from other abductions that I've had. So obviously we've been introduced, because who introduces himself like that? You know, like, surprise, it's me. And then right. I end up, what we did is we rested our cheeks together. So I rested my cheek next to hers. And then just with my hands, I was like, you know, touching the back of her head, because, you know, it was very physical in the sense of, like, I could feel, you know, I could feel the skin, I could feel the temperature. And then I touched her arm, and she had very coarse hair on her arms. And she was there in front of me talking. And then I said to her, I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad you're here. What's your name? And she said, Flaley. And then I said, how did you find me? Did you feel me out? Did you feel me reaching out for you? And then she laughed, like, in this dream state. But then I got a telepathic side thought from her. Do you think all of your interactions are initiated by you? And then I was like, huh? I didn't understand what she meant. Like, she totally threw me off. But she had this beautiful, beautiful laugh to her. She must have been, like, in her 20s. She had this beautiful smile, and just her energy was just amazing. And then she went over. She saw on my lamp side, I had a watch. It was a broken watch. And she's like, oh, is that a watch? Can I see it? And she picks up the watch, and then she puts it on, and she's playing with the knobs and stuff. And I'm just laughing, because the thing is, that watch was a memory that she got, because I don't have a watch actually on my dresser. It was a memory of a watch that I had 20 years ago that broke. But she found it of interest, because telepathy is so deep that she can find memories inside myself. And then she found this memory of a watch that she was fascinated with it. And so in the dream, I just said, just keep the watch. But
now,
are you sure
that this extraterrestrial was not Amber Heard? Are we definitely sure it's not her?
No, definitely not.
Okay. Right.
However, I will tell you one thing. I once had a visitation from an extraterrestrial. And I didn't see her at first. She was touching my arms. And then I eventually, the blurriness went away, and I saw her, and she was using a telepathic screening, meaning that she changed her appearance to be somebody else. And it was Halle Berry. It was Halle Berry.
Really?
She made herself look like Halle Berry. I'm not kidding you.
I wasn't so far from it. Okay.
No, eh?
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I was like, okay, you're not hard in the eyes. I like this.
Wow, Kevin. See, that's what I wondered. How did you communicate? Once I said it, I'm saying, okay, it's a spiritual thing, and you can communicate spiritually, and it could work that way. But this doesn't scare you one bit. See, that's what I'm amazed. You don't get scared this situation happen to you, especially in a dream state. And forgive me if I screw up the word, but it says there's a story and a song behind, is it Lufthansa?
Lufthansa, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's actually about the secret space program. It's about the German reversed engineered flying saucers known as Hanabus. That's what that's
during the Nazi
about.
Germany era.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's
the
hidden
that
history
song.
Of World War. Yeah, that's the hidden history of World War II that they don't want you to know about, but it's well documented. After World War II, they found all these documents, and they found the evidence of these German flying saucers. And you know, when you first heard these stories about Foo Fighters, you know, and how some of the the United States Air Force were seeing these Foo Fighters, these flying saucers. Well, the thing was, not all of them were extraterrestrial. They were actually German. They're German flying saucers because they had manufactured these things. So to go back to history, because anybody can look this up, if you go back to Project High Jump, which is Admiral Byrd, who in 1943 was it was after World War II. What happened was after the World War, the Nazis fled to Antarctica. So the, in their submarines, they packed up these Hanabus and they went to establish New Schwabenland, so New Germany. The United States knew all about it. They sent three battalions of multiple ships and 6,000 men, the largest military operation ever, down to Antarctica under Admiral T. Byrd. And when they got there, all of a sudden these flying saucers came out of the water and started to attack them. They even used a laser and cut one of the ships right in half. And the battle was over very, very fast, and Byrd went back to Eisenhower and said that they have the technology to go from pole to pole. He actually said that to somebody in, where is it, Argentina. He actually said that to somebody, and he wasn't supposed to, and that information got leaked out, and he got in big trouble for it. But this is all historical. And that was the beginning of the secret space program, because they wanted to get their hands on this technology that the Germans had. And that's what the song is about. It's called Luftpanzer Air Tanks is the translation in German.
Now, how did you find this out, Kevin? It's very interesting. If this was classified secret, how is this document public that we can find out about it? How you found out about it? How did it come to your...
Well, the reason it came to my attention is because, so this is what people understand. I'm not some kind of whack job who saw a UFO, you know, and he
no, you're not.
You know,
and I verify that.
No.
I verify that you are not. Like I said,
no.
I had experience with UFOs. I believe in UFOs. The military just admitted, yes, we do have the UFO, had contact. So no, you're on stable ground here. You're on stable ground.
Yeah, my UFO experiences, particularly with my music experiences and the paranormal side of music and the extraterrestrials, is actually documented. My stories are in Grant Cameron's book, The Paranormal World of Music. So tuned in. And my other CE5 experiences or extraterrestrial experiences are documented in the book Inviting ET by Stu Walker. I've also been a guest speaker on over 70 UFO radio talk shows because of my experiences. So I'm well known. I'm also the host of Pyramids on Mars UFO Radio on the Artist First Network, and I've been running that show now for 5 years. So that's a very popular show. Yeah.
Yes.
So,
but
I know what I'm talking about.
Sure. Sure. I do know what you're talking about. I was just curious how you got the information, because, again, that just goes with credibility.
I gotta let you know.
Because my – yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the reason is because of some of my friends in the UFO community, because there's a lot of us in the UFO community. Some of my friends I met who are actually former secret space program military officers. So one of my friends, he's very close to me. He doesn't talk about his experiences because he wants us to live his life and have his family now.
Sure.
And he's done with that part of his life. So I learned about this stuff from him. But it just happened to be I was hosting a radio show with Janet and Sasha Lesson, and we were interviewing Penny Bradley, who is a secret space program whistleblower. And then when I was talking to her, and I said, yeah, your story sounds just like my friend's. And I mentioned his name. And she's like, you know blank? I'm like, yeah. She says, oh, my God, we served together. And then all of a sudden, you know, she and I became very close friends. And then she put me into these private secret space program groups on Facebook. And so I'm getting all this information from them over the years about this, you know, about what's really been going on with these, you know, with NAFWAFEN and Solar Warden and and the, you know, the real, you know, we have reverse engineered UFO technology for 60 years, and it's been
right.
are classified black projects. You know,
wow.
when Eisenhower warned about the military, he warned of the military industrial, you know, it was that's what it was about.
It's amazing, Kevin. I do want to ask you one question before I get to the last one regarding your music. You've been through a lot, and I know it's hard to talk to, I don't know what you want to call them, just the average Joe, and they look at you like, okay, and there's believers. And let's be honest, there's some people who believe in God and some people who don't. You know what I mean? Some people believe in UFOs, some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
But you had a couple of encounters. And once you have an encounter with something so spiritual, so powerful, a being, can I say being without it being derogatory, you know, lack
sure.
of any other word I can say,
yeah.
and you had a close mm-hmm. encounter, how can you have a normal relationship, and I'm going to say this very carefully, with a regular human person? When you had a connection with something so spiritual and powerful and intimate with another being, I mean, does that alter your feelings in any way? Unless they're in that circle, of
that's
course.
That's a very complex, there's a complex answer to that. And the answer is that it makes it extremely difficult to have relationships with other Earth-Terran women on this timeline. Mm-hmm. I've been through a lot of abusive relationships over the years, and
sure.
I've gone through a lot of healing my personally, but what I found with my own experiences with other women was that women tend to hide a lot of things and are not open, or they end up using you, and so then I end up getting tremendously hurt because they have
right.
alternate agendas, and then they just throw you away like an old pair of shoes. They, you know, like you don't mean anything to them. So, I would rather have a relationship with a non-Terran woman, you know, Star Nation extraterrestrial, because they are telepathic and there's no hiding of agendas. It's completely transparent. You have to understand that these societies are telepathic, the majority of them. And telepathy is communicated on an emotional wavelength. So there's no hiding of anything. It's complete transparency. You can't say, "Hey, Brian, how you doing today, you asshole?" You know, like you say, thinking that to yourself. No, they'll hear that. So, you know, it's
right,
that's
right.
You can't hide in a telepathic nation. So I would rather have a relationship with someone where there's no, you know, where I know what they're saying is true and genuine, because they can't hide it in a telepathically.
Sure.
I'd rather have that kind of relationship, you know? So,
but is it hard to sustain that relationship, even though, again, my language is going to be Neanderthal, but I think you know what I'm trying to do, because I'm trying to not be derogatory towards it, because, again, I do believe in extraterrestrials. Everybody knows. Well, you know that. But I understand, but there's some times where you're so lonely you may call them, or sometimes they're not there when you need them, or maybe sometimes do you feel that they're watching you constantly, or can she break your heart by, you said she visits you twice, and maybe you're longing for that third visit, and that third visit never comes. So not being hurt doesn't really apply here,
yeah.
because you can be hurt too, because you just don't know.
Yeah.
There's nothing solid, if you know what I'm trying to say. Help me with
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on the money, and you're right, and it is hurtful, because, you know, I got to see Flaley twice, and I haven't seen her since, and I don't want to patronize her, because
right.
and I don't want to objectify her, because I talk about her a lot, and, you know, I don't want to tie her down, because
mm-hmm.
you know, she's got her own life, and I don't want her thinking, you know, that I'm just fantasizing about her. I want, you know, I don't want that. I want to get to know her. I want it to be real, you know. It's so much more difficult to have relationships with our Star Nations when you have to be in the right frame of mind and consciousness in order for these interactions to actually take place. So yeah, you're right. Right. It's like, good luck, you know?
Good well, luck. Being hurt is part of living. You have to feel. And sometimes the feeling is not mutual, but that's okay. We can even go, if I want to go spiritual, the only thing I could go spiritual with is God, you know. And people say, well, how can there be a, and that's the only place I can do a spiritual comparison. It's like, well, how can God kill these little kids and everything? Why is there a God? Or how come I'm going through this? And why am I feeling? But we love God. We have faith in God. And we can be hurt by God, meaning that my aunt's dying of cancer. And how come you didn't save her, Lord? I believed you all this time. So I'm using that. It maybe it might be a poor example, but that's the only example I can give. I'm just saying your love, man. Your love is your power, your music, man. I'm going to play it right now, On Dragon Wings. Am I correct? I want to make sure I get the title right.
Yes, On Dragon's Wings.
On Dragon Wings. And your music, you could feel the soul, you could feel your heart in your music. It's not just making music, hitting the notes, and, hey, here's the beat. You could almost hear your soul either break or your soul rise through your music. Is a powerful a sound that your music has. I haven't heard your music in a while. I'm really excited about hearing On Dragon Wings. Plural?
Yeah, On Dragon's Wings. It's both plural.
Wings.
On Dragon's
okay.
Wings.
So maybe you can have a good relationship with a person who's here on Earth and still have, maybe it's not a monogamy. See, our relationship here on Earth is based on religion, monogamy, and you know how that screwed us up.
Very true.
So maybe the extraterrestrial doesn't have that kind of limitation or that kind of narrow-minded
thinking. No, they do not.
Thinking. So
no,
did
they
you
do
ever
not.
Think?
And you're absolutely. You're so on the money, Brian. Like you have no idea how enlightened you really are. Honest to God, you're absolutely right. So for star nations, there are some star nations where it's polygamy. They have polygamy societies. Others they may have a relationship with someone, but their dating process might be several years, and they the choice to procreate is a very, very serious an undertaking, because their children, they live to 800 years old, some of these tall whites. Then you have the Zetas, like the Ponte, who I'm in contact with and I work with. They have contracts. So if they decide to have a partner, it'll be like a 50-year contract. And then at that 50-year point, if they decide to renew that contract, they have the choice. But depending on their soul journey of what they're doing in that lifetime, they may just decide to part because they realize that their time together was for that time and they no longer needed that time and it's time for them to experience other things. So, yes,
sure.
There's multiple ways of living life.
Sure. I'm going to ask Kevin. I could call him Kevin. Kevin's my friend. You guys have to call him Mr. Estrella. When we get back, I'm going to ask Kevin about his music videos and who is the creative mind behind them. But I want you to listen to his newest single. And the album dropped, I want to make sure, the album dropped in May 31st.
It's going to drop. It's going to drop in May 31st.
Oh, it's going to drop.
Yeah, so in a couple
it's going to drop May 31st.
Going to drop.
Yeah. Cosmic Angels. It's the newest album from Pyramid on Mars. It releases May 31st. Where can they get the album, Kevin?
Sure. If you go to my website, pyramidsonmars.com, there's links right there. It'll take you straight to Bandcamp. You can also, get it, and it'll be available in digital forms on pretty much all platforms. It's also available to listen to streaming on Spotify. But please support musicians. Purchase a digital album off of everything you should buy off of Bandcamp. Go to the link of Bandcamp. You can buy digital right there. It supports goes directly to me, and or buy a CD. You'll actually get it personally signed by me. So please do.
And
right
do
now,
this,
actually, we have a 20% discount. Right now it's a 20% discount. Use the code COSMIC. Use the code COSMIC right now, and you'll get 20% off. It's only good for two more weeks.
Wow. You can't get any better than that. I'm telling you, here it is. While we play the song, if you'd like to come into the studio and ask Kevin some questions, which I urge you to do, he's one of the most honest guests I've had in the studio. Kevin knows some of the guests I had in the studio. The studio is not always nice. There's some ruckuses going on in here. You just don't know what's going to happen. But please call in. The number is 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. And you get to talk to Kevin and me. And on Dragon Wings. Here we go. You know what, Kevin?
Yeah.
I don't know what gets into you, but when you start getting that guitar going, I mean, my God, it's like highway to hell, meaning great. It's badass. I love it. And in fact, I love it so much, I'm on your website. And Cosmic Angels, I'm hitting the link. Phoenix from the Ashes, pre-order, compact disc, $14.99. Okay, are you going to give me a 20% discount?
Absolutely.
How do I get the discount?
I think when you go in there, you start putting things, you just put there'll be a thing for a code, you just put the Cosmic.
Okay, let me see. Okay, with this digital pre-order, that's what I want to do. You get three tracks now, and this one includes digital pre-order of Cosmic Angels. You get three tracks now, streaming via the free Bandcamp app and also available as a high-quality download in MP3. I want that. I can pre-order it now? Okay, here it is.
Awesome, yeah.
And let's see. Name your price. What's the name your price thing? I thought it was $14.99.
Some put $14.99.
Oh, okay. All righty. $14. I'm doing it now on the air. You know that. This is no.
That's wicked. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Discount code. I put in Cosmic.
Cosmic.
COSMIC. Okay.
You got it.
I'm playing. Add me to the mailing list. All right, I'm going to do that. Guess what? Sorry, that code is invalid. Cosmic, did you change the code? You changed the code.
What?
Yeah, it says I put in the code Cosmic, discount code Cosmic. It says change. Sorry, that discount code is invalid or expired. That's what it told me.
What?
Really? Yeah.
Okay.
Seriously.
Don't worry. I'm going, you know, when I see your name, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to change it manually myself.
Don't you dare.
I
got to
go and fix that.
Stop. Don't you dare. I'm paying regular price. Are you kidding me? I don't need no discount.
No. I'll give you the discount. I'll have to go back in there and
manually
fix it.
I don't need no discount. Include a message to Parametamars. Oh, I'm going to write you a message. I don't know if you want my message. Add me to the mailing list. Yes, I am. And add it to my cart. Yes, I will. Okay. I'm waiting for the next... Okay, I added to my cart. I'm one of these idiots. I'm trying to talk and trying to do an interview at the same time, and I'm trying to purchase your album. I added it to my cart. Now I got to go back. It should be in my cart. Okay, let me go back. Okay, wait a minute. I'm still on. Okay, merch. It's in my cart. Anyway, Kevin, I don't know where I'm at. It says added to my cart. And then, here's my cart. Look, here's a little tiny cart. Forget it, everybody. Got the cart. Okay, that's good. Okay. Now, do I have to sign up first before I can get it? I didn't sign up. I just tried to purchase it. Do I need to sign? Oh, no. I'm checking out right here. Here it is. The total shipping is $5. The total is $19.99. Shipped to the United States, yes. Click here to check out. And here it is. I've got to put my shipping. You're going to know where I live. Don't tell those aliens. I've been trying to hide from them. I'm going to fill that out
in
the next
commercial.
Hey, man,
I know a lot of chicks, man.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I'm not the baby daddy. Where's Maury? I'm buying that before this interview is over. Letting you know, I'm buying that for my friend.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I love
man.
The album. I love the music. Hey, man, I love the music. It's great music. The last question I'm going to ask you is, tell me about your music videos. Who is the creative mind behind them?
Yeah, actually, it's, believe it or not, all the music videos were put together by me. I did all the music video editing. And it was a combination of the live video footage is done by videographer, his name's Sheng Chin, who is from Toronto. He does an amazing job with his angles and his creativity and has his camera on a tripod and he can spin it and upside down and left, right, and up and down. And he does all this cool stuff. And so we did all the shots in Toronto at a place called The Guild. And then for the different videos, I then went to Fiverr.com and got some folks to do some to capture footage. So for Drawn Dragon's Wings, it's the video footage from the movie How to Tame Your Dragon, the Pixar movie. And
right.
So then I incorporated and put the video together myself. The other song, Phoenix from the Ashes, it's basically a huge homage to the Assassin's Creed video game, you know, trilogies. And so I took a whole bunch of, you know, video game footage from Assassin's Creed and then turned that into the music video. So, and that's a really cool video too. So,
wow.
Yeah, I do it. I put the videos together myself. You got to wear a lot of hats as a musician. You know, you got to do all your marketing. I'm my own producer, my own master. You know, I play all the instruments on the album, and I'm my own videographer and make all my music videos. So you do everything.
Hey, welcome to
on your own.
Welcome to the club, being an independent. Welcome to the club. Hey, Kevin, remember this commercial?
And now a musical trailer from the album.
Nope,
Edge.
I didn't. Nope, it didn't work. Hold up, hold on. Wait a minute. There's a. You remember that, Kevin? What's the name of that song?
Oh yeah, that is F-22 Raptor off of Edge of the Black.
That's right. Listen to this. One of my favorites. I grew up R&B. I grew up rap. I didn't know too much about rock and roll, except pop. You know what I mean? I just got into Ozzy Osbourne. I heard a little bit of some of the group and Def Leppard and we had some fool on the show, Chris Dover. But your music really, really hits home. I mean, I can relate to it. I love the guitar in it, and I love the different chords that you can play with it, and I love it how you take it to another level. And I'm not kidding. I could put that on my headset, and I run a little bit. I could run 2 or 3 miles until that album stops. You know what I mean? It's just something about it. But it talks to me that way. I'm going to finish checking out in Bandcamp because you have PayPal here. Can I pay with my credit card at all, Kevin? Is it just PayPal?
Yeah, it should be able to.
I
think you should be able to pay with that credit card. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
There should be multiple options in there. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to purchase the album for the total price. It's $19.99, and it's great. And I usually don't do it. And Kevin knows this. The artists send me their music. I mean, I could hear their music. I could see their music. I put it in a studio. I mean, I could take it from the studio. I'm not doing this. He's an artist. He's an independent artist, and we should support them. They need our support to make more music. It's that simple. It's that simple. They need our support to make more music. It's that simple. Right, Kevin?
It's that simple. Yeah, Spotify doesn't cut it, you know.
Right. Right. I mean, the things that we buy, you know, a pack of cigarettes. Okay, I was a smoker. A pack of cigarettes is now $10. Did you know it's $10 in Washington State for a gallon of gas? And some gas stations in Washington State, it's $10 for a gallon of gas. In California, it's $8. You can have this album, man. My God, forever and beautiful music. I mean, damn. Top down, driving along the beach, playing Kevin's music. I can get laid like crazy. You know that? They just jump in my cars like fishies from the sky just because I'm playing Kevin's music.
Yeah, I once had a guy from Japan who told me he was listening to my music in his car in Japan, and he swears to God a UFO flew over his car. He saw a UFO while he was playing my music.
It might be Tylee. You know what I'm saying? I think that's her name. I'm not quite sure. It might be. Yeah. She knows your heart. She knows your soul. I'm sure she listens to your music. She could be a groupie, for all you know. She could be.
Oh, who knows?
Yeah, but, you know, get the music, get the album, my friend Kevin, support my friend Kevin. And you heard everything you needed to hear about Kevin, his heart and soul, about his music, and a lot of extraterrestrial, spiritual things happening to him can really influence some of his music. And Kevin has a story to tell you. Kevin, please tell them how they can hear you on your network and your radio shows and your newsletter, whatever you have.
Sure.
Merchandise.
Sure. Sure, absolutely. You can find all my merchandise and everything at my website, pyramidsonmars.com. We've revamped the website, totally brand new. It looks awesome. Music videos are on there as well. It has links to my guitar lessons from Mars. I have personal guitar lessons that teach my style of neoclassical playing, influenced by like Bach and Vivaldi and stuff like that. And also has my, any guitarists out there, I have my neck illusions, which are, I have neck graphics on my guitar, which are custom to me, which is a DNA double helix. That was a long story for that, but that was a download that I got in a dream. Years ago, and then Neck Illusions followed me on Twitter, and I asked them if they could make this thing that I saw in my dream, and they gave me an endorsement deal. So I've been endorsed by Neck Illusions for the last 5 years, in addition to Steve Vai is a Neck Illusions endorsed artist, and Jennifer Batten, who is Michael Jackson's guitarist. So they are endorsed by Neck Illusions too. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
There you go.
Yeah, find everything there. And if you want my music, go to Bandcamp. You can listen to my music, all four of my albums. I have four albums out. And there's actually a multiple discount for if you buy the whole discography. I think you get like 20 or 30% off. So it's a great deal for that.
And Kevin was here, and this show is no slouch. I mean, we have had Megadeth. We have Glenn Drober on the show. Kevin was here when he was here. My God.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that didn't turn out well, did it?
No.
Kevin's going, oh, my God. Get me out of here. We have had many. We had, oh, God, I can't even. Larry Russ from, Megadeth. And Larry Russ is from what band? Well, here he is right here. God, what's wrong with my short-term memory? Here he is. You guys know who Larry Russ is. Listen to this.
Hello, my name is Larry Russ, former keyboardist and vocalist for Iron Butterfly, 1999 to 2005.
There you go.
You are listening to Brian the Hammer Show on BT Radio.
That's right. Iron Butterfly, Megadeth, Pyramids on Mars. Are you kidding me? This is the show. Kevin, I want to thank you for coming on. Give you the last 30 seconds. Whatever you want to say, whatever you want to promote, is all yours, my friend. You're a VIP. Actually, you're a very important extraterrestrial, too. So anytime you have some news or update and what you want to do, please come to the show and announce it. You don't have to have an interview. You can just come on by and say hello. And, hey, Brian, I got this promotion coming up.
Oh,
I got this concert coming up. Are you touring anytime soon, Kevin?
Not touring anytime yet, but I am looking at doing some video, what do you call it, Facebook Live concerts. So follow me on Facebook, Pyramids on Mars. Yeah.
Wow.
So
that is cool.
There'll be then you can see a show for free. There'll be a virtual tip jar there, and you can donate what you want. But I'll be doing virtual live concerts on Facebook very soon.
Oh, I got to be there. Make sure
Pyramids
you send me
on
the
Mars.
Link. Oh, please send
okay.
me the link.
Yes.
I mean, that's something I really want to see. There
yeah,
you go. Everybody, the great, and I do say great, but I like to say my friend better. My friend Kevin Estrella.
We are friends.
Am I pronouncing your last name correctly? Estrella? Estrella?
Yeah, sounds good to me. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, just let people know. You know, Brian has been Brian and I have been friends for like 7 years. He's been great helping Pyramids of Mars get noticed. And he's actually he has been in the credits of my album, my last three albums. So
what?
Yeah, as you're gonna see last three albums, your name is in the credits.
Wow. I'm flattered. You better get the album. I'm flattered. Damn. Thank you,
yeah,
Kevin.
Man.
I didn't even know that. I'm really flattered.
The last three albums.
You
and Ellen Johnson are in the credits. You're at the top. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what? You keep making that great music, and like I said, this is your door, man. This is a worldwide show, and it's global. And you, whatever you do, promote, tour, whatever you're doing, the streaming thing on Facebook, come on the show, promote it. Let us know the date. We'll get you there.
All right, we'll do.
Thank you,
we'll
Kevin. Kevin Estrella, everybody. Pyramids of Mars.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Kevin. Support
Thank
our
you,
artists. Hey, anytime. You're my brother from another mother. You know that. Support Kevin, and we're going to be good. And we'll be right back with more stories. We're going to talk about abortion in Oklahoma. I know, controversy thing. Donald Trump is back. He's back on Twitter. We'll be talking about stuff like that. And we'll play Kevin's song again on Dragon Wings later on in the show so you can get used to hearing it. Repetition, but it's a great song. Going back to the day of Classic Brian, Iron Butterfly, you heard the man, Larry Russ. Here we go. Yeah. Boy, do I need a studio. Wow. We had a lot of bands on here. Thanks to Ellen Johnson. Ellen Johnson, man, she booked like you would not believe. Oh, I can't even remember all we had. I mean, Temptations. Hall & Oates. Megadeth. And you just heard from Larry Russ. Damn, we had so many bands on here. And Pyramid of Mars, Iron Butterfly. And we had other people too. And Pyramid of Mars is right with them, one of the best bands. And Kevin Estrella, man, not only a great guy, but a great musician, man. This dude can rip a guitar. He shreds it like I say, Congress shredding documents. And like I was saying, you know, God, having a good guest like Kevin, I have to go down to politics, really. That's what I have to do. Lately, we've been following Johnny Depp and Amber Heard testimony. I'll do that on my own time because it's my guilty pleasure. But there's a lot of other stuff that's going on. You know, I live in California. And there's corruption here. It's not just in Hollywood. This is the first time, I was listening to the news the other day, and this is the first time they mentioned the word, the K word, cabal. Is it a K word? Is cabal a K word? Go with me. But there's some mad corruption going on here. We have two baseball teams. One is called the Dodgers. The other is called the Angels. Anaheim Angels, but nationally it'll be LA Angels or Los Angeles Angels, whatever. I don't keep up on the Angels too much. But lately they've been in the news, and I'm going, what the fuck are they in the news? Yeah, I said, fuck. See, we have a small staff, and the guy who gives you the dump button when I say naughty words and he'll put some other crap in it, we fired him. So now I can free fly my words. Well, there's a sinister thing going on here in California with the Los Angeles Angels, if you're a sports fan. Here's the headline. Members of the Anaheim City Council calls for Mayor Sahu. They want his resignation amid federal corruption probe. They want him gone. There's a whole thing going on here. They actually call it a cabal. And this is regarding the Angels, LA Angels baseball team in California. You got to understand what Anaheim is. Anaheim, think of Disneyland. Disneyland is in Anaheim. Anaheim is like a conservative Republican area. You have your Anaheim, Laguna Beach, Mission Hills, but Anaheim, Irvine. If you ever been to California, you know what I'm talking about. It's very conservative. Donald Trump country, by the way, in California. Well, the Anaheim City Council members have asked the mayor to resign. What? Yeah. They wrote him a letter. This is the day after the FBI, of course, made public a record conversation with the mayor Harry Sidhu, allegedly trying to extort $1 million as part of the sale of Angel Stadium. See, Angel Stadium, they're selling the Angel Stadium because they got a new stadium, but what? It says we need to start fresh, and that starts with the letter that I sent to the mayor asking for his resignation this afternoon. The people were upset. Cabal. See, the mayor, his name is Harry Sahu, he's accused of trying to solicit $1 million to help finalize the sale of the Angel Stadium on city land to a team owner, Art Moreno's development company. What? Well, Tuesday, the judge put a 60-day hold on the sale. There's something afoot. Like when the authors come on the show. Something afoot. Authors use that. Nobody else used that word. Something's afoot. What does it mean it's afoot? The information came as a surprise. So this guy says, well, this information came as a surprise to the guy who was going to buy the stadium. Said Mr. O'Neill, what? I had no knowledge of this. This is a personal issue with the mayor that appears to have happened completely outside the business of the city. I don't know what the mayor is going to do. He tried to extort us $1 million. I just thought that was part of the sale. How did I know this was an extortion plan? What? I'm completely innocent. Well, according to the court documents, the FBI agent was able to get the cooperation of an associate of Sahu to record conversation with him. They mic'd the guy. They put a mic on him. That's right. This is different than the homosexuals when they say, I put a mic on you, and then that ends up in some sex act that we should not see, and then conservative people get upset when they hear that you put a mic on them. Now, this is different. This is a little thing that you can hear, a listening device, so nobody's upset. So that's what they did. They did a thing like in the movies. They put a microphone on the dude. Dude, and that's how it went. Dude, and Duke says, yeah, dude. And Duke says, yeah, and everybody goes, dude. And the guy says, yes. And he goes, dude, we want you to put a microphone on. Because that's how the FBI talks in California. That's how they talk. Dude, can you do this? Come on, dude. And the guy goes, I don't know, dude. That's how we talk in California. You know, when you can use dude in a lot of ways. Because when you do visit California, you got to learn the language. You just can't come in here and think that you fit in and go to an attraction. No, you got to fit in with the language. So you can use the main word is dude. And you can use it in many different ways. So like, dude. And that means you're not listening to me. Like, dude. That means listen to me, dude. And then you go, dude. And that means you're getting upset because you're not listening to me. Dude. And then when you do something bad, it's like, dude. So there's different things of dude. I don't know how I got to dude. Let's get back to the sale here because it's very disturbing. And the extortion. So that's what the FBI said. Hey, dude, where a microphone, dude? And the guy says, okay, dude, I got it. He'll go, okay, dude. That's how the conversation went with the FBI in California. Well, according to the documents, an FBI agent was able to get the cooperation of an associate of him to record the conversation. We're talking about Sahu, who is the mayor, who's extorting $1 million. In one conversation, Sahu is heard saying, and this is what he said, Sahu, dude, this is what he said, dude. He said, because I said you got a last minute, this is what he said, because I said you got at least minimum of $1 million to come up with my election. They have to, and of course, you know, if Angel Stadium sale will conclude next year, if it is approved, hopefully, we'll push for them at least have $1 million. You know, I don't know what it means. I'm reading it just like it is. If it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. And the Angel representatives to say, no is bad. Okay. So basically what I get out of this crap is that I need $1 million. Dude, I need $1 million. You know, it's really expensive to park in California. I need $1 million. I got to have free parking. And the guy goes, what? Look, if you want this deal to go through, I need $1 million. I need it for my election. That's what the mayor is saying. The guy goes, okay. So that's where we are. I will continue reading. Dude. And so then the FBI said in court documents that they believe Sahu solicited $1 million to finalize the stadium sale. And the rule, so I guess if the mayor doesn't get $1 million, the sale would not go through. So that's basically what it is. So so he said, I need $1 million for my election. And if you don't give me $1 million, the sale's not going to go through. So they mic'd the guy. Because and the FBI goes, dude. And the guy goes, dude, did you get a dude? Dude, yeah, we got a dude. And that's how it was. So that's what the FBI said in the court documents. That's what it said. So the FBI said the mayor leaked confidential information about the sale to Angel's team representative. So far, there no one from the Angel organization or the mayor have been charged with a crime. Oh, my God. They get away with shit. If I were the mayor, I wouldn't be sleeping well at night. That's what this guy named Scott said. Tinley Scott, he's a former federal prosecutor, said the public's facing evidence is unlikely to be the whole case. This is the tip of the iceberg. This is what the FBI showed to a judge to get a warrant. There's likely dozens of other conversations back there, and they have scores of records and subpoenas documented to prove up their case. Dude, Todd, I don't know who Todd is. Oh, he's a former head of Anaheim's Chamber of Commerce, is also facing charges of his own, including accusations of money laundering. Well, I do my laundry on Thursday. One time I had a dollar in my pocket after I did my laundry, and it was still good after it was dried. I wonder if that's considered money laundering. Dude. Huh. So he was money laundering, and not on Thursdays. He's not naming the case against Mayor Sahu, but Tanley said based on what he's seen in the court documents, it's possible the cases are connected. You know, these people are not going to be charged. And there you go. I don't think there's any questions about it. If you look at page 31 of the affidavit, these are the transcripts of the recording where the mayor references Todd. He's talking to somebody named Todd who just pleaded guilty, and that would coincide with the unsealing of the search warrant, and that he's got a complaint and he's charged. Yeah, ask what happened to Anaheim's deal to Stadium. Who cares? So what happens now with Anaheim's deal to sell the property? I don't know. It's too early to say at this point. The future of existing stadium deal, you know, so this is much about nothing. This story is about we mic'd a dude who said that the mayor needed $1 million. It's like, you know, and that's it. And they're going to put that to evidence. And you know what? If you get a jury, and this bullshit about jury of your peers, you're not going to get nobody as peers. These people are billionaires and multimillionaires. So where are you going to find a lot of multimillionaires on a jury? That's bullshit. They have lawyers to get them out of jury duty. The only ones who get left with jury duty are poor bastards who don't have a good excuse to get out. I tried it one time. I mean, I called him up and I said, dude, I can't go to jury duty. He goes, dude, why not? Because we're in California. Dude, I'm sick. They go, dude, it doesn't matter. You have to appear in court. I go, dude, I got hairy balls. What? Yeah. And he goes, dude, either you go to jury duty or if we come and get you. I go, dude, I'll be there. All right, dude. Didn't work. Only rich people get out of jury duty. That's just how it is. That's how it is. Well, we'll be right back. We got 46 minutes. There's a story I want to talk to you about. There's some stories that I never got to. Let me see some stories that we haven't get to. Let me see. We got some story. Johnny Depp, majority of Anaheim. Taylor Swift. That should be fun. Oh, and Ted Cruz. He's hit with a 15-page of ethics violation. And who fuck cares? And we go back with that. Oklahoma passes the strictest banning on abortion. That's the story. I mean, you're not going to believe what Oklahoma's going to do. This is sad. It's really sad. Okay, you're listening to Brian Hammer Jackson. See what happens when my guest leaves? When my guest leaves, I reach for time. I only got to kill 45 more minutes. Don't forget Kevin Estrella. Don't forget him. Don't forget his new single that's coming out in, I think it was the 31st. Let me see here. It releases May 31st. The Cosmic Angel from Pyramid on Mars. Don't forget that. Go to his website, Pyramids, PYRAMIDS, PyramidsOnMars.com. That's plural, PyramidsOnMars.com. I'm purchasing the album, as you heard me on the air, and Kevin should receive it any moment now as soon as I get off the air, because now I want to go into it had PayPal. I don't want to go through PayPal. I want to go use my credit card to purchase the album. That's the only delay. And I will be contacting Kevin shortly. We'll be right back. If you'd like to come in the studio, the number is 319-527-6099. If you want to ask me how my sex change is going, I'll tell you, because I'm really a female. That voice is just kicking in right now. God, I love that song. All right. We'll be right back.
Hi there, I'm Denise St. Clair, and I am so excited to introduce my co-host for today's exciting event. Former champion of the Albuquerque Open, it's Monica Blake, everybody.
I'm thrilled to be here, Denise. Why don't we get started?
Absolutely.
So no one wants to play with dirty equipment. That's why you have to keep your balls clean. Problem is, bar of soap just doesn't cut it. See? Still dirty.
Well, how can guys clean their balls so that they're more enjoyable to play with?
Well, there's finally a tool that can really get the job done. The Axe Detailer. Cleans your balls. Why don't we start with these small balls? With a soft side for lather, and a rough side for scrubbing, this can make any ball sparkly and new. Go ahead and play with those clean balls, Denise.
Wow. Could play with these balls all day. Let's see if the audience has any questions.
You there.
Can it clean these filthy balls?
Throw those fuzzy suckers down here. Look, cleans right through the prickly surface.
What about my ball sack?
Drop it right here and let's get to work. Big ball sack.
Monica, it looks like we have time for one more demonstration.
Come out here, Mr. Hackerman.
Monica. Can you help me with these dirty balls?
Hank, the Axe Detailer offers such a crazy clean. It can even clean your old balls.
Wow. They look like new.
Incredible. There really is no nook or cranny that thing can't clean. You are a true champion, Monica. If you've got dirty balls that need cleaning, call now and you can get a free detailer. Or just visit the Axe Shower Gel aisle in your closest retailer.
Your mom's is so poor, she went to McDonald's and put a shake or a layaway.
Is your mother so old she knew Central Park when it's just a plant?
Your mom's hair so nappy she gotta take painkillers to comb her hair.
Yo,
I got a little story to tell you.
Have you ever met a girl that you tried to date, but a year to make love, she wanted you to wait? Let me tell you a story of my situation. I was talking to this girl from the U.S. nation. The way that I met her was on tour at a concert. She had long hair and a short miniskirt. I just got on stage dripping pouring with sweat. I was walking through the crowd, and guess who I met? I whispered in her ear, come to the picture booth so I can ask you some questions to see if you're 100 proof. I asked her her name, she said blah, blah, blah. She had 9-10 pants and a very big bra. I took a couple of flicks and she was enthused. I said, how do you like the show? She said I was very amused. I started throwing bits, she started throwing back mid-range. But when I sprung the question, she acted kind of strange. Then when I asked, do you have a man? She tried to pretend. She said, no, I don't. I only have a friend. Come on, I'm not even going for it. It's what I'm going to say. You got what I need, but you say he's just a friend. job I was working for it at this time. I thought just having a friend couldn't be no crime, cause I have friends and that's a fact, like Agnes, Agatha, Jermaine and Jack. Forget about that, let's go into the story about a girl named blah 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 that adore me. So we started talking, getting familiar, spending a lot of time so we can build a relationship or some understanding. How it's gonna be in the future we was planning. Everything sounded so dandy and sweet, I had no idea I was in for a treat. After this was established, everything was cool. The tour was over and she went back to school. I called every day to see how she was doing. Every time that I called her, it seemed someone was brewing. I called her room, a guy picked up and then I called her again. I said, yo, who is that? Oh, he's just a friend.
All right, there you go. That's the late, great Biz Markie. Yeah. I mean, chicks did that to you. Chicks don't have boyfriends. They have boyfriends, if you know what I'm saying. All right, everybody, we're going to be talking about... I'm looking at Facebook. Somebody has a request. We do take requests.
I know she was there the
and
first semester of the
okay,
school
here's
year.
A request, so
I went
to
a gate to ask where was the dorm. This guy made me fill out a visitor's form. He told me where it was, and I was on my way to see my baby doll. I was happy to say I arrived in front of the dormitory. Yo, could you tell
yo,
me where
could you tell
it's
me
door
where,
three? They showed
three.
Me where it was for the moment. I didn't know I was in for such an event, so I came to a room and opened the door.
Oh, snap.
Guess what I saw?
Guess what I saw?
A tongue kissing my girl in the mouth. I was so in shock, my heart went down south. So please listen to the message that I sent. Don't ever talk to a girl who says she just has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend.
Mm. Mm. All right, here's the request. I usually don't do requests until Friday. And I got other stories to say. This is going out to Julie. And Julie wants to make this request to her friend. She didn't specify as a boyfriend or husband or whatever, to her friend. Her friend's name is Dale. So is Judy and Dale. Dale is listening. I see her on Facebook. Dale is listening because she wanted to hear Kevin. See, Kevin, you're bringing him in. So this is a dedication to Dale. Here we go.
She said it's cold outside, she hears me wearing cold.
Nice song.
She's always worried about things like that. Well, she said it's all good again, and it might as well be my fault. She only sleeps when it's raining, and she screams, and her voice is straining. She says, baby, it's 3 a.m. I must be lonely. She says, baby. Well, I can't help but be scared of it all sometimes. And the rain's gonna wash away, I believe it. She's got a little bit of something, got it better than nothing. And in a color portrait, well, she believes that she's got it all. Where the moon don't hang quite as high as it used to. And she always sleeps when it's raining. And she screams, and her voice is draining. She says, baby,
that life is made up of all that she's used to. And the clock on the wall has been stuck at 3 for days and days. She thinks that happiness is a map that sits on her doorway. But outside, it stopped raining. She says, baby, huh? But at 3 a.m. I must be lonely, huh? Yeah, but she says, baby, yeah, yeah. But I can't help but be scared of it all sometimes. And the rain's gonna wash away, I believe. Yeah, but at 3 a.m. I must be lonely.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Here we go. What's happening in the world? Our last story. There you go. In the Garden of Eden, honey. Okay, that's enough. You want to see me in concert? Pay me. Don't you know that I love you, baby? Yeah. Not bad for 7 a.m. All right, here we go. This is really sad. I don't know who I'm sad for, but here it is. Here's this lady talking about Oklahoma. They have just passed this. They went to the governor. He's going to sign it. They're going to have the most strictest law regarding the most restrictive abortion law ever in Oklahoma. Here's the soundbite. Here you go.
Mainly, I think the word I've used a lot lately is defeated, feeling like I have no control over what's happening.
No uterus, no vote.
That's the word right there.
No vote.
It really pulls at you because now you are experiencing this firsthand. It wasn't only a 1960s cause. This cause has been going on forever for women. It's still important that we take into account why some of these women have to make the choices that they're having to make. But I don't think it is fair for elected officials to play God. And that's exactly what they're doing when they're taking away choices.
I was here in April when the Oklahoma government was writing laws about our bodies. And I don't think men or five people should be able to make the decision for women all across the United States on what they can or can't do about with their bodies.
Okay, that's what's happening, but it gets more. It gets more, I don't know how I can say, gruesome. And I don't know what's happening here. But this is, they believe abortion, or they believe a baby. Here it is right here, Oklahoma City. And they want to implement the strictest anti-abortion law in the nation. And they gave the final passage to their Texas-style ban that begins at conception. At conception. That's when they believe life starts at conception. I don't know what that means. What do you mean at conception? Because I'm not a female. I need somebody to help me. I don't know the female body except to play with them. I mean, to me, a female body is like a bakery. I go in and I pay money, my dough, and I get something sweet. But I don't understand of conception because don't you miss a period? Because conception could be, a lot of people can miss a period and then they get their period, and I think it's based on a period. I think I'm wrong, but you may not conceive at that particular time, and then when you do conceive and it does spark a pregnancy, we have that argument, when does life begin? But they're not waiting for that. They're saying at conception. But how would a woman know? I mean, she could have had a one-night stand, and then she's not due on her period for 3 weeks later, and then all of a sudden she's pregnant, or she could have missed her period, but then her period's come back. It just gets complicated. But at conception? Nearly all abortions would be prohibited under the legislation that would take effect immediately upon Governor Kevin Stitt's signature, and he's going to sign it today. Abortion providers plan to challenge in court the measures that could take effect any day. Okay. The House passed House Bill 4327 by Representative Wendy Sturman. She's a Republican from Collinsville, on a 73-16 vote that saw two Republicans break party ranks to oppose the measure. Wow. Look at you, Republicans. You're breaking ranks. The bill allows private citizens to sue anyone who aids or abets a woman seeking abortion. You know, I'm going to test this out. The bill allows citizens to sue anyone who aids or abets a woman seeking an abortion at any point in her pregnancy. This is in Oklahoma. I'm going to see, you know, sometimes I don't have my executive producer here, Ellen. She was good at this. I'm going to call an attorney, live on the air, and I'm saying, I saw a girl who was pregnant, and then she's not pregnant no more. I want to collect my money. Where do I collect my money? How do you collect your money? Wait a minute. I'm going to go a little further. Who pays me? Who pays me? The bill allows private citizens to sue anyone who aids or abets a woman seeking an abortion at any point in her pregnancy. The woman pursuing the procedure could not be sued. I don't understand. It just says I could sue the woman, but the woman you must sue the doctors, maybe. The woman pursuing the procedure cannot be sued. Limited exceptions include abortions necessary to save a woman's life and those performed to end pregnancies that occur during a rape or incest, so long as a woman reported the crime to law enforcement. Do I have to call the cops? In a meeting with abortion providers at the White House on Thursday, Vice President Kamala Harris called the legislation extreme. In Oklahoma, the state legislator passed one of the most extreme abortion bans in the country, a ban that would outlaw abortions from the moment of fertilization, Harris said. It's outrageous, and it's just the latest in a series of extreme laws around the country. I want my money. In fact, I think I'm going to impregnate somebody just to get a good 10 grand. And then I'll take her across, I'll give her a couple of tickets to go to California and get the abortion. We split the money. This could work. Hell, I'll be pregnating everybody. That's if I pregnate five people, that's $50,000. I can make a living. I can have an island. Wow, look at me, my thinking. The emotions ran high on the House floor as legislators asked questions and debated the bill for nearly 2 hours. The vote spurred Republican Representative Gary Meese, who is not seeking re-election, to express frustration with the legislation for not doing more to help pregnant women in Oklahoma. He said, "What are we doing? Are we actually going to put our money where our mouth is?" Mitch voted against the bill after noting he had voted for every other anti-abortion bill that had come up during his 4 years in the Capitol. Representative Denise Crosswhite, Harder, H-A-D-E-R, depending on how perverted you are, she's a Republican for Piedmont, was near tears as she talked about her abortion decades ago, a procedure she now regrets. Why can't people just close their legs? I don't understand. Here's the logical sense here. Okay, I understand that you want the opportunity to, if something happens, to abort the baby. I understand that. But doesn't it go from the beginning of safe sex? I mean, contraceptives are available. Saying no is still there. I mean, you can do many other things than just have sex and have the same end result, right? Hand, mouth, butt, whatever. But why don't we go from the beginning? You wouldn't have to worry about an abortion if you practice safe sex. You wouldn't have to worry about abortion if you just said no. Why are you doing risky behavior, crossing your fingers and opening your legs and hoping you will not get pregnant? Maybe you should do the reverse. Maybe you should cross your legs and open your fingers and give them a middle finger and say no. Maybe we should do that. Should abortion be an alternative to birth control? I mean, there's that argument there. There's that argument. Planned Parenthood. Oh, Planned Parenthood. Maybe I'll call them. Planned Parenthood, Great Plains interim president and CEO Emily Wales said the abortion ban approved by the legislator is a reversal of history because it goes against the decades of legal abortion access established by Roe versus Wade. Yay, Roe. Boo, Wade. Wade's very bad. Roe's good. One sign, abortion will be illegal in Oklahoma. Full stop. I'm going to see if there's a plan. I'm going to play a song. I'm going to see if there's a full plan. Parenthood. I don't know if there is one in Oklahoma. I think there is. They haven't closed yet. And I'm going to see how much money I can make if I tattletale. And a recent Fox News appearance did defend it, signing a six-week abortion ban and a bill to classify performing an abortion as a felony, punishable by 10 years in prison or $100,000 in fine. Can you imagine you're going to prison, you're a woman, and they say, what you in for? And you said, abortion. They go, fuck. Damn. What you in for? Murder. But it's not as bad as an abortion. It's the same thing, really. Because you're probably going to charge with being committing murder. The woman says, we believe life begins at conception, and we're going to protect life. That's what she said. Oh, here, that's what I wanted to play. George Carlin did a thing on that. About babies. I wanted to play this for you. How much time do I have to make you understand what's really happening here? And do you know who well, you guys wouldn't want to know who George Carlin is. I mean, he did a thing on babies, and I hope I can get it. I'm doing this on the air. I think he did it. Okay, he's talking about abortion. Here it is. I hope it's the one. Listen to George. He's better. He can say it better than I can. Because I don't understand this. Basically, I understand abortion, your right for your body, blah, blah, blah. Some people are saying, yeah, you have right to your body, but you got a life inside. What about who's representing the life inside of you? And it goes back and forth. But maybe George can help me out here. George Carlin, explain abortion to me, please.
Back to this abortion shit. Now... is a fetus a human being? This seems... well, let's get back to this abortion shit. Now, is a fetus a human being? This seems to be the central question. Well, if a fetus is a human being, how come the census doesn't count them? If a fetus is a human being, how come when there's a miscarriage, they don't have a funeral? If a fetus is a human being, how come people say we have two children and one on the way instead of saying we have three children? People say life begins at conception. I say life began about a billion years ago, and it's a continuous process. Continuous. Just keeps rolling along. Rolling, rolling, rolling along. Okay, you know something? Listen, you can go back further than that. What about the carbon atoms? Huh? Human life could not exist without carbon. So is it just possible that maybe we shouldn't be burning all this coal? Just looking for a little consistency here in these anti-abortion arguments. See, the really hardcore people will tell you life begins at fertilization. Fertilization when the sperm fertilizes the egg, which is usually a few moments after the man says, gee, honey, I was going to pull out, but the phone rang and it startled me. But even after the egg is fertilized, it's still 6 or 7 days before it reaches the uterus and pregnancy begins. And not every egg makes it that far. 80% of a woman's fertilized eggs are rinsed and flushed out of her body once a month during those delightful few days she has. They wind up on sanitary napkins, and yet they are fertilized eggs. So basically what these anti-abortion people are telling us is that any woman who's had more than one period is a serial killer. Consistency. Consistency. Hey, if they really want to get serious, what about all the sperm that are wasted when the state executes a condemned man and one of these pro-life guys who's watching cums in his pants, huh? Here's a guy standing over there with his jockey shorts full of little Vinnies and Debbies, and nobody's saying a word to the guy. Not every ejaculation deserves a name. Now, speaking of consistency, Catholics, which I was until I reached the age of reason, Catholics and other Christians are against abortions and they're against homosexuals. Well, who has less abortions than homosexuals? Leave these fucking people alone, for Christ's sake. Here is an entire class of people guaranteed never to have an abortion. And the Catholics and Christians are just tossing them aside. You'd think they'd make natural allies. Go look for consistency in religion. And speaking of my friends, the Catholics, when John Cardinal O'Connor of New York and some of these other cardinals and bishops have experienced their first pregnancies and their first labor pains and they've raised a couple of children on minimum wage, then I'll be glad to hear what they have to say about abortion. I'm sure it'll be interesting. Right, too. But in the meantime, what they ought to be doing is telling these priests who took a vow of chastity to keep their hands off the altar boys. When Jesus said, suffer the little children, come unto me, that's not what he was talking about. So you know what I tell these anti-abortion people? I say, hey, if you think a fetus is more important than a woman, try getting a fetus to wash the shit stains out of your underwear. For no pay and no pension. I tell them, think of an abortion as term limits. That's all it is. Biological term limits. But you know, the longer you listen to this abortion debate, the more you hear this phrase, sanctity of life. You've heard that. Sanctity of life. You believe in it? Personally, I think it's a bunch of shit. Well, I mean, life is sacred? Who said so? God? Hey, if you read history, you realize that God is one of the leading causes of death. Has been for thousands of years. Hindus, Muslims, Jews, Christians, all taking turns killing each other because God told them it was a good idea. The sword of God, the blood of the Lamb, vengeance is mine. Millions of dead motherfuckers. Millions of dead motherfuckers, all because they gave the wrong answer to the God question. You believe in God? No. Dead. You believe in God? Yes. You believe in my God? No. Dead. My God has a bigger dick than your God. Thousands of years, and all the best wars, too, the bloodiest, most brutal wars fought, all based on religious hatred, which is fine with me. Hey, anytime a bunch of holy people want to kill each other, I'm a happy guy. But don't be giving me all this shit about the sanctity of life. I mean, even if there were such a thing, I don't think it's God. No, you know where the sanctity of life came from? We made it up. You know why? Because we're alive. Self-interest. Living people have a strong interest in promoting the idea that somehow life is sacred. You don't see Abbott and Costello running around talking about this shit, do you? We're not hearing a whole lot from Mussolini on the subject. What's the latest from JFK? Not a goddamn thing. Because JFK, Mussolini, and Abbott and Costello are fucking dead. They're fucking dead. And dead people give less than a shit about the sanctity of life. Only living people care about it, so the whole thing grows out of a completely biased point of view. It's a self-serving, man-made bullshit story. It's one of these things we tell ourselves so we'll feel noble. Life is sacred. Makes you feel noble. Well, let me ask you this. If everything that ever lived is dead, and everything alive is going to die, where does the sacred part come in? I'm having trouble with that. Because, I mean, even with this stuff we preach about the sanctity of life, we don't practice it. We don't practice it. Look at what we kill. Mosquitoes and flies, because they're pests. lions and tigers? Because it's fun. Chickens and pigs? Because we're hungry. Pheasants and quail? Because it's fun. And we're hungry. And people? We kill people. Because they're pests. And it's fun. And you might have noticed something else. The sanctity of life doesn't seem to apply to cancer cells, does it? You rarely see a bumper sticker that says, save the tumors. Or I break for advanced melanoma. Ah, viruses, mold, mildew, maggots, fungus, weeds, E. coli, bacteria, the crabs. Nothing sacred about those things. So at best, the sanctity of life is kind of a selective thing. We get to choose which forms of life we feel are sacred, and we get to kill the rest. Pretty neat deal, huh? You know how we got it? We made the whole fucking thing up. Made it up. The same way.
There you go. George Carlin. It makes sense. It makes sense. So going back to Oklahoma, I mean, we're in a time right now, I don't know what side you believe, women have the right for their bodies, or, yeah, you have the right to your bodies, but there's a human inside, you don't have the right to kill it. But yet we don't want abortion, I mean, we don't want welfare, who's going to take care of the baby, we don't care. Our taxes are not going to raise that child, we have this little poo-poo, but we want you to have the child, it's on you, but we're out after you save the child. And even though maybe the baby was born with crack or drug induced, whatever. We don't care. And, you know, the argument that I get stuck on, and the hypocrisy I get stuck on this, is when they said, we don't want you to have an abortion, but in case of incest and rape, it's like, wait a minute. If you believe life is life, and even if it was by an ancestral relationship or by rape, the baby is still alive. It's a life. But you're saying, we'll give you a pass, you can kill it. That's the problem I have. Because when you're thinking, well, unless it's incest or rape, and I don't know what that means. It means that the mother will not care for the child, and she will, every time she looks at the child, she'll have this traumatic experience. But that shouldn't even matter, because if you're saying it's a life, it shouldn't really matter how it was conceived. So you don't have a pass. Either you say you don't abort the child no matter what, but you cannot give me unless it's this and this. See, that doesn't make sense. Because even if it does, even if it's through an ancestral relationship or it's through a rape, you're still killing a human being. Why can't you just stay there? So take out rape. Take out incest. Because it's still a life in there. But they don't want to commit to that. I find that very, very strange. I do. After Texas implemented the Senate Bill 8, Oklahoma abortion clinics saw an influx of patients from across the Red River. So people used to go to, okay, so Texas have this abortion thing. People said, okay, I still have an out. I'm going to Oklahoma. Oklahoma saying, oh, no, fuck you. Our abortion laws are a lot more strict than Texas. Okay. So they said, so they're blocking the path of Planned Parenthood and Women's Health, Oklahoma. Sturman said her bill will work hand-in-hand with already approved legislation in criminalization of abortion, meaning they're going to criminalize abortion. You are now a murderer. This argument is going to go and go and go and go and go. And, of course, there's people protesting and marching and crap, and you're marching for the wrong thing. What you should be marching is, you know that the governor is an elected official. Instead of going to the Supreme Court Justice House, which doesn't mean a damn thing, it's not going to change their damn minds. They're there for life. You can't remove them. You got to go to the people, and because what is eventually going to happen is going to be the law of your state. every state's going to have their own law in terms of abortion. And if you're smart, you got to protest the elected official, which is the governor. That's where your anger should be towards. You go to the government, governor's house, the mansion, or wherever he lives. You protest there. Let him know that you oust him if he signs this bill. He's an elected official. He has skin in the game. So you marching on Capitol and you marching at the Supreme Court and your signs and all that bullshit is just purely propaganda bullshit. You're there for the tea and cookies after it's over. If you're really serious about changing the law or protect your state where this albatross of a law, you got to get serious. You got to come together, and you got to hit the public official who count on you for their votes to stay in office. That's where you should be focusing. You let your governor know that this is not acceptable, and you will remove him. I'm serious. I mean, I can't explain it any better. Here's George Carlin. On child, should I go? Here he is on children. Maybe this will help. Maybe he could explain it. Maybe he could explain it a little better than I do. That sometimes things could be simple. We just make things complicated. Let's see what George has to say on this.
That was stupid. Thank you. Now, I appreciate it. Something else I'm getting tired of is all this stupid bullshit we have to listen to all the time about children. It's all you hear in this country. Children. Help the children. What about the children? Save the children. You know what I say? Fuck the children. Fuck them. They're getting entirely too much attention. And I know what you're thinking. You say, Jesus, he's not going to attack children, is he? Yes, he is. He's going to attack children. And remember, this is Mr. Conductor talking. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. And I also know all you single dads and soccer moms who think you're such fucking heroes aren't going to like this, but somebody's got to tell you for your own good, your children are overrated and overvalued. You've turned them into little cult objects. You have a child's fetish, and it's not healthy. And don't give me that weak shit. Well, I love my children. Fuck you. Everybody loves their children. Doesn't make you special. John Wayne Gacy loved his children. Kept them all right out in the yard near the garage. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is this constant mindless yammering in the media, this neurotic fixation that somehow everything has to be revolved around children. It's completely out of balance. Listen, there are a couple of things about kids you have to remember. First of all, they're not all cute, okay? In fact, if you look at them close, some of them are rather unpleasant looking. And a lot of them don't smell too good either. The little ones in particular seem to have a kind of urine and sour milk combination or something. Stay with me on this. The sooner you face it, the better off you're going to be. Second premise, not all children are smart and clever. Got that? Kids are like any other group of people, a few winners, a whole lot of losers. There are a lot of loser kids out there who simply aren't going anywhere. And you can't save them all. You can't save them all. You got to let them go. You got to cut them loose. You got to stop overprotecting them because you're making them too soft. Today's kids are way too soft. For one thing, there's too much emphasis on safety. Child-proof medicine bottles and fireproof pajamas, child restraints and car seats and helmets, bicycles, skateboard, baseball helmets. Kids have to wear helmets now for everything but jerking off. Grown-ups have taken all the fun out of being a kid just to save a few thousand lives. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. What's happening, you know what it is? These baby boomers, these soft, fruity baby boomers, are raising an entire generation of soft, fruity kids who aren't even allowed to have hazardous toys, for Christ's sake. Hazardous toy shit. Whatever happened to natural selection? Survival of the fittest. The kid who swallows too many marbles doesn't grow up to have kids of his own. Simple as that. Simple. Nature knows best. We're saving entirely too many lives in this country of all ages. Nature should be allowed to do its job of killing off the weak and sickly and ignorant people without interference from airbags and batting helmets. Just think of it as passive eugenics, okay? Now, here's another example of overprotection. Did you ever notice on the TV news, every time some guy with an AK-47 strolls onto a schoolyard and kills three or four kids and a couple of teachers, the next day, the school is overrun with counselors and psychiatrists and grief counselors and trauma therapists trying to help the children cope. Shit, when I was in school, someone came to our school and killed three or four of us, we went right on with our arithmetic. 35 classmates minus 4 equals 31. We were tough. I say if kids can handle the violence at home, they ought to be able to handle the violence in school. I'm not worried about guns in school. You know what I'm waiting for? Guns in church. That's going to be a lot of fun. And it'll happen. You watch. Some nut will go fucking ape shit in the church. And they'll refer to him as a disgruntled worshiper. Yeah. Here's another bunch of ignorant shit. School uniforms. Bad theory. The idea that if kids wear uniforms to school, it helps keep order. Don't these schools do enough damage making all these kids think alike? Now they're going to get them to look alike, too? And it's not a new idea. I first saw it in old newsreels from the 1930s, but it was hard to understand because the narration was in German.
Lovely, Melissa. How are you, sweetheart? 1 minute left. How are you doing?
I'm good. That was funny. That was
children,
funny.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
Some of them
stink like sour milk and urine. That is true, though.
How are you?
Some kids stink.
How are you, kid?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Had a good interview with Kevin Estrella.
I heard some of it.
Yeah. I'm buying his album. I only got 36 seconds left. Yeah, he's pretty
really?
Good, isn't he? He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's a good musician. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Well, we're going off the air right now in about 20
okay.
seconds. Hold on, sweetheart. Don't leave yet. I'm going to be in, we call it the after party. And for you to attend the after party, you got to call now, 319-527-6099. That's the number. You got 10 seconds. And the show will continue.
Where's Mr. Felician? He's got to get those fingers going.
No,
319-527-6099.
No, we're in the after party. No, believe me, even if they don't, it's like Laverne said, baby, I may not be coming in this studio, but it doesn't mean I'm not listening.
Mm-hmm.
Solution is listening. You know, and this is the first time I came on at 7 a.m.,
Yeah, it's been a while, huh?
It's been a while. It has been a while.
Yeah.
It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I'd like to know, maybe you can clear it. I listen to you. Maybe you can clear this up for me. Seriously, I know it's a touchy subject. You're a Catholic girl. Where? This abortion thing in Oklahoma is very fierce. Very fierce.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're saying now is the time of conception. That's when it's the strictest rules, laws that we ever have in this nation. They're saying you cannot abort a kid on time of conception. And I don't understand what that means.
The moment of fertilization.
Yeah, what is that? I mean, as a woman, friend or whatever, I need you to...
When the sperm hits the egg, the rubber meets
right.
the road.
But when does that happen, though? Because most women won't know until they miss their period. And then some women miss a period, but then they get their period, you know, back.
Kind of rare.
What language. So What does that mean? How would they know it's fertilized? That's what I'm saying, because
they're just starting from square one and making it impossible.
Aren't they?
Right? That's what they're
aren't
doing.
They? And we're believing that bullshit, Melissa? We're believing that? We're that weak-minded people that basically they're saying no abortion ever. That's basically what they're saying. No abortion. That's what they're saying, but they can't come out and say that. They're saying, well, we're going to give you that pass and time of fertilization. What the fuck does that mean? By the time a woman finds out that she's pregnant, isn't it like the
it's already done.
The fetus is already developing?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know where we're going. And Melissa, and the thing about it is when I look, and even Oklahoma has it, it says here, they even have it, except for rape or incest. And here's where I'm really confused about, wait a minute, if you're talking about life, we're talking about life. It doesn't matter how the life was conceived, right? Whether it's conceived by Uncle Joe or Billy next door, we're talking about a life that is grown in your body. But they said it's okay to kill that. It's okay to kill that.
What about the women that were given all these medical tests, which you get now? Remember we talked about that?
Right.
And they have a child that's Down syndrome, and they choose to have an abortion.
Right.
Right.
We're not even talking about that. Oh, ma'am, you got a complication.
Yeah.
We feel that the baby.
Yeah.
How about the preemies? How about the preemies?
Yeah.
Depending
you don't know.
Well, exactly. But a lot of preemies have some problems. Maybe have some asthmatic problems, or they may have some development problems. They may have blah, blah, blah. You know, they're going to tell you all the reasons that they do. And what happens, you have a preemie and it's not developing his lungs properly, whatever. I'm not a medical professional, but you get what I'm saying. And the baby's in an incubator, and they give the news to the mother, or the doctor tells her, we got to induce labor, we got to have this baby as a preemie, and we're finding there might be maybe the baby's cord wrapped around his neck or something, and they might, whatever. That the baby may not be a healthy baby. The mother gets the news that we may have complications with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
He may never have language, or you get the idea of what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
But the baby's not born yet, but she's still in that area where we can still abort it. It may be risky, but we can still abort it, this child. What do you do? Mm-hmm. Now, we do know somebody. And she's a lovely lady. I respect her for 100%. And she has a couple of autistic children. We do know her.
Yeah.
And the courage for her, and I could only go by me. I am so shallow. I'm self-absorbed. I'm so shallow that if I walk towards you, you can see right through my body. I'm just like a mask of smoke.
Yeah.
And I know I could say this because it can never happen, and I try my hardest to put myself in their shoes. And the doctor says, Mrs. Spell, the doctor will tell, Mrs. So-and-so, your baby is going to have complications. We can tell you right now.
Yeah.
For the rest of his life, he may need whatever. And this is a good old USA, right?
Yeah.
But the good old USA, the most powerful country in the world, does not give us the adequate insurance to take care of our health care.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford giving the proper care to him. He might need a kidney. It might need this. It might need that. Whatever. But my insurance doesn't cover that.
Mm.
What do you do?
Yeah.
And the baby's not going to be, I cannot give the proper care to my child because my insurance does not cover the medical care that he may need. That's a reality.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Could be one reality.
And
what are we
going to
do with all these disabled children that are born that people don't want? What are we going to do with those?
Exactly.
Right?
And going back to this lady that we know that she has the courage, and she knew. I remember when she talked to me, and she says, okay, we're worried about this, and they were taking the baby to test, and they found out her worst fear was correct, that the kid was autistic. She already had one child. And if you ever have any, and Yeah, and autistic children are now not the abnormal. There's a lot of them, like 1 out of 7 will be born autistic. I mean, it's so
Christ,
open
there's
now.
People in their 40s and 50s that are getting diagnosed with it, for Christ's sake.
Right, exactly. And you just brought up another
what
point.
What the heck?
You just brought up another point. People are having babies later in their 40s, and some are even having them in their 50s. Which
yeah,
they and look
crazy.
At Donald Trump, who had his kid, and he's 110.
Yeah.
But and there's
that's
complications. Exactly, there's complications when you have a baby in the older years.
There can be, yeah.
So you're going to eliminate that. I mean, people think it's cut and dry. Well, you know, we'll just go with rape and incest. No, there's a lot of other special factors that goes involved. If we had some kind of health plan for these children to get proper medical care because of some kind of situation that they may need for the rest of their life,
yeah.
I'm with you about abortion. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a single mm-hmm. mother who is dealing with a baby that needs constant medical care and the insurance
yeah.
does not cover that, you don't see it. You're not there. You don't give a fuck. That her it's her problem.
Yeah.
So we saved a life. Yes, we saved a life. Yes. But what about
yeah.
that? Because that's not included. That's not included.
I said to Laverne yesterday, I
yes.
swear that this world and country has gone into some weird vortex.
I know, right?
It's
know.
Really weird.
I know.
It's like something just flipped. The switch.
Well, two words.
And sure, you know.
Yeah.
What?
Social media. It gave the birth.
You know,
I'm
kind of leaning towards that with you.
Well,
sure.
Social media, it gave the voice to the ignorant and the misinformed.
Yeah.
See, you know, I blame regular people on this because here's what happened. Social media has nothing but trolls, ignorant trolls.
Mm.
And regular people, regular folks like us, if we go into a situation and there's a chat and we're hearing ignorant people will speak out. They want
oh, yeah.
to let the world know that they are stupid and whatever. But us, you know what we do? We don't argue with the ignorant people. We check out. I'm not dealing with this.
Mm-hmm.
This is
yep.
stupid. I'm not going to
yep.
be part of this. These are intelligent people who are saying, I'm not even going to argue with this. So therefore,
yep.
when these people check out, all we hear are the ignorant people yelling their spew of their crap, and you yell it out enough times, you start to believe it. Because the good people
mm-hmm.
are saying, I'm not going to be bothered with that. Their voices are so
yeah,
silent that we're not hearing the other side saying, shut the fuck up, you crazy motherfucker.
Yeah.
So now we're just hearing
yep.
the loud voices who trolls the things, who trolls the chat, who throws the news story, blah, 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 because the good people are saying, dealing with this fool, and we don't hear
yeah.
them. I mean, that's just my opinion. What
yeah.
do you got, Melissa? What do you
no,
think?
I agree. I agree. Facebook, I'm just going to go with Facebook, because I have Instagram
sure.
and all that other stuff, but I'm not really into it. I don't use it.
Right, right.
There's just... I am amazed at what I see.
Yeah.
Amazed.
They walk
the fake
among us.
Stories that are out there. And,
Oh, man.
And the political stuff. And
political stuff, Melissa. The latest,
yeah.
and I don't say this during Kevin's interview. Now we're in the after party. This is called... We're in podcasts, technically. I call it the after party where we can spout our different, you know, say any shit we want to say. It's not
mm-hmm.
on the other broadcast, and I don't want to take it away
live.
From Kevin.
Yeah.
You got Donald Trump saying yesterday, Oz, you know Oz, That's Mad Doctor Oz, the creepy guy.
Yeah.
Well,
the one I used to like.
Yeah. Apparently, he's running for office in Pennsylvania. I think it's Pennsylvania.
Right.
And apparently, the race is so close, it's too close to tell. But they're still counting the mail-in votes, Republicans and Democrats. Mm-hmm. So, numbnuts, the disgraced president, pissed off the GOP. Why did he piss him off? What did he say? He told Oz to claim victory. This was his move. He said to Oz, as of yesterday, claim victory. That way it'll be harder when the mail comes in and it goes the other way, it'll be harder for them to remove you. That's what he said.
Well,
just claim victory now, and that way when the mail comes in and if you lose, you have a fight to overturn it. That's his thinking. And the GOP and the Democrats, and especially the Republicans, are pissed off at him because the Republicans are saying, are you discounting our vote? Because we mailed in some of our votes. And if you're telling Oz to claim victory and all of our votes are not counted in, you just told him to cancel the Republican vote. And the Republicans are furious at him. And then Trump says, let's just move on to Georgia. And left them hanging there. They're pissed
at
him.
It's like he starts fires and walks away, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes, he does.
Yep.
He wants to be a winner, and when he finds out that his people who he backed or whoever are not going to win, he moves on to somebody and attaches himself to something to make him feel better. And if you're looking at the count of what's going on with the primaries, it's a mixed bag. Right now, he's losing 4-2. Two got in. I'm just thinking loosely that the candidates that he is backing are falling by the wayside. I have so much – and again, I'm not anti-Republican. There's a lot of great Republicans out there that are tired of this bullshit. And I guarantee you why this man lost the last election, he lost the popular vote – and he lost the electoral vote. And they were not just by Democrats. I told everybody before, when they get behind the curtain, I'm talking Republicans, when they get behind that curtain and they pull that whatever, they're not voting for him. They're tired of his shit. And he lost. And this motherfucker went to Georgia and said, let's overthrow it. Find me some votes. He said it loud. He's not even hiding this shit. They're tired of this guy. He's doing so much damage to the Republican Party. It's just – and his last straw was saying Oz claimed victory. And the Republicans saying, wait a minute, we mailed in our votes. Our votes are not counting. Trump just said, fuck it. And the Republicans saying, you're canceling the Republicans' vote? Are you fucking kidding me? It's starting to hit the fan with this guy.
Yep.
I have faith in American
people.
People
don't care. They don't care.
They don't. Exactly.
They don't care.
And I'm not beyond. I say the same thing about the Democrats. You know me. It's very disturbing to watch Biden. It's very disturbing.
Yep.
I'll be honest with you. It's very disturbing.
For all of us, most of us,
yeah. I mean, this guy is aging like 3 times as much a day. Every time I see him, is it me or do you see it too? I mean,
I see it too.
Oh my God, the way he walks off and the way he can't even read the prompter, it's like, well, here's Biden again. I go, oh no, please don't talk, and it's. Oh. Ponderous, man. Ponderous.
It is,
isn't it? This guy, you really think this guy is going to make the next election, that he's going to run again in a second term? Do you really think that?
Yep, I do.
Do you really?
Yep.
Oh, Melissa, I don't know. No, really?
Mm-hmm. I do, yeah. Yep.
Mm.
And we're all going to be, oh, my God, can you imagine?
No.
Can you imagine?
No. I can't, Melissa, I can't.
I can't. I don't know what to say.
Can you imagine the rematch of these two old fossils, Trump in 25 and Biden in 25, going against each other head-to-head? It's like the Senior Citizens of World Wrestling Federation. These guys get are just – and Trump would – can you, oh, my God. This is the best our country has to offer?
Yep.
That both these guys will be 90 years old. They'll be 88 in office. They'll be 82 in office. We usually put 82 in a home, and the next step is gas them or put them in hospice and say goodbye, Grandpa. Can you imagine?
No, but I'm telling you, that's what's coming.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. See, Biden has a good heart. I mean, he's giving money everywhere. And this, oh, you need money? Here you go. Oh, you need help? There you go. And I had to think about Biden. You know how I feel about death. I think it's a personal thing. Keep your opinions and keep your soul, whatever, to yourself. I grieve my way. If somebody I love, how you feel, Melissa? Somebody you love, you're at a funeral, and then there's 500 people you don't know holding hands. Like, I pray for you. To me, it's an insult and invasion. Like, get the fuck off my funeral lawn.
Yeah.
You don't even know the person who passed. But you want to make yourself feel so good that says, we're with you. Get the fuck away. What do you mean you're with me? I understand your pain. No, you do not understand my pain. You know what I mean? This false, and it's nothing but false love and whatever, because after it's over, guess where they're going? They're going to Chuck E. Cheese. They're going here. They're not even thinking a thing. They recorded their favorite shows. They're having a great dinner that night while I'm still falling apart that day for the next 6 months. You don't know my pain. Get the fuck off. So why do I say that? It's just... Biden comes on, and he goes to Buffalo, and he starts saying, I know how you feel. It's that dark, dark hole that you don't think is going to be filled. You don't think the dirt is upon you, and you cannot see light. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
And you're experiencing what happened to both. We respect it, but don't project that on how I feel. No, motherfucker, we're angry, motherfucker. Somebody took my loved one. They shot him. They shot him. So we got different emotions than you losing your son. God save you through cancer or something else. At least you had a chance to say goodbye, or at least you had this. He went to the store, and he never came back. Maybe it's a total different anger, President.
Know.
But don't pretend that you know all of our pain and that you're going to be there and you're trying to console us.
Yeah.
Because
He's
your next
the
stop
big
is
daddy.
You're going to... Yes! And it bothered me. I know it came from a good place.
Obama's
I know.
I still miss him. I still miss Obama. Obama.
Yeah. Because he was kind of sincere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would have dealt with it differently. He would have, you know what I mean? He was been, I don't know.
He did. Remember he was at the funeral? And I don't have it up, and I want to talk to you a little bit, and I got to go in a little bit. Remember we had it up? He was at a funeral. I forgot who it was. And then he started singing Amazing Grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody was, and because you cannot, and just a note, maybe it's just me, but maybe help me, Melissa. Maybe it's just me, when somebody loses someone and they're getting into that bereavement area, and how we deal with loss and how we deal with death as one individual person.
Personal thing,
And
it's very personal.
Yeah, and the last thing I want to hear, and I know it comes from a good place. I know it does.
Yeah.
But when somebody goes, hey, Brian, I know how you feel. I lost my
That's
mother.
That's the worst thing to say.
Isn't
hey,
it?
Hey, I'm getting a phone call. Oh,
okay, baby. Thanks for coming on.
Okay.
That's Melissa, everybody.
Bye.
All right. That's our show. That's a lovely Melissa. Thank you for coming in. Don't forget Kevin Estrella's new album. And it's called Cosmic Angels. That's what it's called. Pyramids on Mars. You heard the song. I'm going to play it right now, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. And the single on the song is called On Dragon Wings. And see you guys tomorrow. You're listening to Brian Hammer Jackson. Bye, lovely Melissa. Thank you for coming in, and thank you, Kevin Estrella. See you guys tomorrow morning. Yes. Kevin Estrella, everybody. Kevin Estrella on Dragon. See you guys tomorrow.